I may make up a jingle for them. Nate Olson, is that microphone working?
Testing.
Nope. See, now? Amateur hour.
Now?
How about that?
Hello?
Now,
Orange Whip.
Let me see that bad boy.
Sibilance? Testing one. Mic check.
See, we're...
Mic check.
What you call a second-rate operation. You know what the problem is? That is my bad. Nothing wrong with the mic. I had this set up because I was on the road recently.
Nate's trying to spit hot fire over there on the mic.
DJ Jazzy Nate? Is that what you're talking
Please.
About? Hey, try that.
Hello.
Oh, we have a winner. Nate Olson, the editor of Sync Weekly, with a story that people have been trying to run down for years. We have been going to Pine Bluff Four Ball for the last 6-7 years we've done the show down there. We have always said, oh, man, it's great. We got Willie Rope. He just went into the NFL Hall of Fame. That's awesome. Hey, we got Torrey Hunter. That's great. We love having Torrey Hunter. Pine Bluff native. That's awesome. He's on again. We're going to get him this year again as well. But we always say, man, I wish we could get the great Shabazz on the show.
Yeah.
One of the all-time great Pine Bluffians. I mean, he's up there with, like, Melinda Mayo. I mean, he's on a whole other level. And you, my friend, you were able to capture the unicorn, the mythical creature that is Basile Shabazz.
Well, this goes back to probably 2001. I was a sports writer there. The first week I'm there, I'm hearing about this guy.
He used to work at the Pine Bluff commercial, yes,
Some
Appeal.
Commercial, yes.
I
saw
the Pine Bluff commercial, Some Appeal.
Some Appeal. Yeah. May have less appeal now. I'm not there. No,
just has no appeal to me since you're gone. But I'm kidding.
But I heard about this guy right away. I'm like, let's get into a story on this guy. Yeah. This guy sounds like Michael Jordan and Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders rolled into one.
Mm-hmm.
And never could track him down. It was just roadblocks. Where is this guy? Nobody knows where he is. And that was by design. I mean, he left the state in 97, didn't want anybody to know where he was. I think in 97 he had hit rock bottom. His brother had died the year before. He was nearly paralyzed at UAPB, penniless. He ran through all his money from the St. Louis Cardinals. I really think he credits his wife for being alive still, because he met her at UAPB. She left for Texas after she got pregnant, and he showed up her doorstep at 3 o'clock in the morning one night and said, I got to get out of Pine Bluff. I'm coming here. I may end up getting married, and I think that's what saved his life. But during that time, he didn't let too many people know where he was. He didn't come back here. Coming back to Pine Bluff was very painful for him to see his where he and his brother, their stomping grounds. And frankly, I think it took him some time to process not being a success. And when if you were in Pine Bluff, you'd hear those questions over and over again. Why didn't you play in the NFL? Why didn't you go to Arkansas? Blah, 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 blah. In Waco, Texas, it could be anonymous. And I think now in 2013, he's come to grips with things and has had a lot of time to process it, and he's ready to talk. And he did a great job in the interviews we had. We have three 20-minute interviews on our website, syncweekly.com/Shabazz, and about 7,000 words worth of copy. Yeah. So I knew when I went down there and tweeted that I was there that other people might try to go. So when I went there, I said, I'm not going to spare any time or anything. I'm going to stay there for 2 days, and I'm going to do whatever I can, as much as I can, so that if somebody else does go down there, we've got this great coverage that would be hard to beat.
So how did you connect with him, and how did you talk him into sitting down and actually telling the stories?
When I was in Pine Bluff, Carlos James, he's now the UAPB baseball coach, great guy, and Torrey Hunter, got to know both those guys really well. So in 2008, when I was running Vite Magazine, I wanted to do a Where Are They Now on him. It took me about 6 weeks of trying, and I finally got a 2-hour phone interview with him. It was like trying to get a hold of the president. I had to go through, Torrey talked to him, Carlos James talked to him, and Torrey's wife talked to him, and his wife talked to him. Finally, he agreed. So we kind of had that relationship there. So when I took over at Sync, I told my boss, Brianna Wells, I want to do a profile on him. I want to do it the right way. I want video. Let's do it. And within 3 weeks of me being here, he decides that we can do it. I thought it'd be something that we would start talking to him about now and would happen in October. When I got in touch with him in about 3 weeks, Carlos talked to him. I didn't hear back from Carlos. I asked Carlos again. That day, he texted me and said, yep, he's ready to do it. Here's the number. I called him. He said, can you be here next Tuesday? And this was like on a Thursday. So we went down there. We spent 2 days with him. One night, we were up till 1 o'clock in the morning talking. So I feel like I got a lot of good color and stuff from him. But you could write a book about him, and you could a 30 for 30 documentary would be very fitting about him and Torrey Hunter's relationship.
How much video? I mean, I've seen the video at Channel 7 from the great archives they have of the Texarkana performance. How much is there from him playing baseball, track and field, that kind of stuff?
I haven't seen
any track video.
I just saw for the first time some basketball highlights of him, you know, the other night. And that's what some people were asking about. The local TV stations no doubt have some stuff. I don't know about his track performances, but football, and man, when you see him run, he said he didn't like contact, but there's a couple plays there where he's just mowing people over, and then he's got this 4-2 speed where he hits that crease and he just shifts it into another gear. You've seen that with McFadden a little bit, but it's really telling when you talk to people that have seen all these guys, and it's kind of like Shabazz is in his own category other than Michael Dyer, Darren McFadden, and Matt Jones. And Matt Jones is the best athlete I've seen in the time I've been here, a 6'6 guy that can run a 4'4 that played basketball. I think he ran track at one time, too, and he was so clutch city. You know, he just go out there and make plays so nonchalantly. And I think that he's probably the closest guy I've seen. But people that have seen him said Shabazz, you know, he goes out and jumps 6'9 the first time he does a high jump. Who does that?
See, that's the kind of stuff that just, I mean, that is otherworldly. I mean, that's stuff you don't even, you can't even make up.
It's a one in a million type thing.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I don't think we'll ever see a guy like that ever again. I really don't. I mean, I've been here since 98, and I've talked to other people. Wade Moore said Jerry Eckwood's a close second probably. Yeah.
You went into detail, too, and I thought that was great. Nate Olson joining us from Sync Weekly, if you're just tuning in. Bill Vickery as well. We're here at the Rev Room. Open for lunch. We'll just say now, so come get you some. But, you know, one of the things is his effort to try to find the right path, because he had a lot of options. He did go the professional baseball route. That didn't pan out, but he did try after that to become a Razorback. I mean, he worked hard to try to make that come together, right?
Yeah, he did. When I went back and looked at the archives, there was a couple stories about how he tried to enroll, and I guess it was like right when fall camp was starting, and the coaching staff was nervously awaiting his arrival there, and the reporters were like, oh, ask him, is he going to come? First day at camp, they're like, I don't think he's going to make it. But he had an appeals hearing, and they didn't let him in. Right as soon as he started with the Cardinals, probably a year or two after that, he started banging on their door saying, I want to play football too, which really kind of angered him. Plus, there was a couple incidents where he brandished his firearm. Yeah. He wasn't charged, but I think they labeled him as damaged goods pretty quickly. And then when he got arrested at UCA, they cut him loose. I think he's really bitter about that. But I think he also knows that it probably – sees their point of view now at 41, that they were worried after he did that twice and then gets arrested that they needed to part ways with him.
But he did get another chance.
He went with Milwaukee, and he started off at Double A there, and it looked like, you know, considering everything, maybe he was on his way. He didn't get along very well with the manager, Tim Ireland. He said that he thought he was racist, and Carlos James kind of said it the best. I think everything was so fast for Basile. I think baseball takes some time. You see guys in the minor leagues for 7 or 8 years. I think he got impatient.
Yeah, the mechanics to play professional baseball far outweigh just what you can do purely from an athletic standpoint in football and basketball, because it is, I mean, you that's why you can see big fat tubs of goo hit a baseball and play professionally, because they mechanically can do that well that you would never see them on a basketball court or football
field. And the numbers are so much different too. I mean, there's so many guys at the professional ranks in baseball. Football's a little different animal, so it's
well, and you've got to get on base. When you've got a 3.1 first home plate the first time, that's great, but you got to get on. You got to either you got to have a good eye and take pitches, or you've got to, you know, get base hits.
You know what's interesting to me about your piece, and again, I think a lot of guys my age growing up in Arkansas and remembering, and now I sound like my father, you know, in my day, Wagon Wheel Jones was the man. But I remember watching him play, and I remember reading about him and the whole baseball versus football and would he go to the U of A and all of that. But when everything has come so easy athletically, when you've had all this fame and adoration and all these expectations and everything around you, and then for it to all fall apart, but to get your life back together. Mm-hmm. And to come out of that and then say, okay, now I'm going to go have this life.
Right.
And then I just think that's it's the non-sports aspect of the story that to me is just as fascinating.
I agree. That's why I think it could be a documentary that would have national appeal. And then you couple in. I think an interesting thing is you have three guys there that were both great athletes, Carlos James, him, Torrey Hunter. One made it to the big time. And Carlos said that he was probably the only guy that could have handled it. He said if Basile hadn't been a superstar like that, his immaturity may have shown through. He may have gotten into alcohol and drugs and gotten in trouble. So, it is interesting. I think the best quote, or the quote that people are talking about the most was Basile Shabazz, "I made it because I made it out of Pine Bluff. I wasn't incarcerated,
right.
and I didn't die." And I think that resonated with a lot of people. And I said it after the Mitch Mustaine thing. I was, blessed enough and privileged enough to talk to him first.
I made it out of Springdale. Doesn't have quite the same ring.
No, when you've been around the game, you've covered it, and you understand it, that that's not the end-all, be-all. Yes, it looked like he was going to be an NFL quarterback and everything, but sometimes things don't work out, but it's not the end of the world. I mean, people think it is.
Right.
Fans do. But I think he's got a degree from USC, and that's going to help him. And I think Basile, somebody said on one of the message board he's got a magnum cum laude from the School of Hard Knocks, and no doubt the stuff that he's gone through has helped him to be a better person.
Well, I'll say this, and to rip off Barry Switzer, just thinking about Shabazz, those that saw him play know that they saw greatness.
Yeah.
He was just that impressive on the field.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Well, Nate, love the work. Haven't had a chance to watch the videos. Did get a chance to read the story. It's fascinating stuff. And I'm going to ask for a favor, too, because I'd love to get him on as part of our Pine Bluff celebration broadcast every year. It is my home away from home once a year. I always look forward to going back to Pine Bluff, and we're looking forward to going back this year and having an interview with him as part of our coverage would be all the better. So hopefully you can join us down there.
Yeah,
as well.
I will try to do that and try to get him on there. I think he definitely would do that.
Well, that's a great piece.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
Thank you.
I applaud you, Nate Olson. You are my idol. I want to be more like Nate when I grow up.
Oh, boy. It's getting thick in here. Thank you.
I'm never growing up. The taco special is underway here at the Rev Room, and I know some of our friends from the Buzz are coming down.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Some of them won't. They owe me money.
Valentine's not coming. Beef, chicken, or fish tacos, you choose. Grilled, blackened, or fried, chips and a salsa, and a soft drink for $7.99. You know what? If you're not a taco fan, they have a full menu. So come get you some. They'll be here, and we'll get an update on what's going on live music-wise. Speaking of Pine Bluff, Nate, too, UAPB expected to do big things after a great year. And I'm hoping that Coach will come join us, too.
Happy for him. I think he finally got his contract. He had to win the SWAC championship to get it, but...
Yeah,
is that all?
Finally, Monty's doing a great job and predicted to win again. Hopefully, they'll be able to do that.
We will. We'll talk more about that coming up as well. So it's 10:48. We are at the Rev Room. We are in downtown Little Rock. Justin Akery joined by the incomparable Bill Vickery.
You knew what that means.
That one I got.
You had to Google ubiquitous.
Yes, I'm still not sure about it. There are several meanings apparently. You
be a great rap name. I'm ubiquitous.
It's actually a great name
it's
for
a great rap name.
That's exactly right. We'll be back in a moment.
The Rawlings Prospects Baseball Club is holding tryouts for the Fall 2013, Spring 2014.